Okay, let's start our lesson tonight, lesson number two on this series on keeping ourselves. And I've got several steps to this keeping ourselves business. There's several things that we need to do to really make sure that we make ourselves eligible for God's blessings. Now, the first one we're going to talk about tonight is called Have the Fear of the Lord. Now, I'm going to talk about this because a lot of people don't really understand what this is, but it's...
I'm one.
Are you? Okay. Tonight, you're going to find out what the fear of the Lord really means. Now, this, I think, of all the things that we're going to talk about on how to keep ourselves, it's funny, you know, it's like a chain. Without this link, none of the rest of them I'm going to talk about will work. Now, sometimes you can have things, several things that you can do, and maybe only you do two or three of them, and everything kind of works after fashion because... I don't know what a good example might be, but you know, like a chain, if you have a chain and you're trying to pull a truck out of a ditch or something, if one of the links is bad, the whole chain may as well be bad, right? All the links may as well be bad because it's only as strong as the weakest link. This is one of those things. Without this, none of the rest of the stuff we're going to talk about will work. This is, so from that standpoint, this may be the most important thing that we talk about in this series. It's calling having the fear of the Lord. And I don't think I've ever heard myself, now I'm not saying nobody has, I'm sure they have, but I'm saying I don't think myself I've ever heard anybody teach on what the fear of the Lord really is. We hear the fear of the Lord stuff, yes.
I don't think so either, because I've not heard it, and I've been around a while.
Yeah, I've been around a while too, and I've never heard, I've heard this thing, the fear of the Lord this, the fear of the Lord that. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, let's talk about it. All right. First of all, I want to introduce you to a term from your English. When you used to have English in high school, do you remember your English teacher ever teach you what a homonym was? Well, I'm not going to confuse you, but a homonym is a fancy name for words that are spelled and pronounced alike but have different meanings. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, you can have baby, a little baby, or you can use that same term to say Mike babies Marianne a lot, or something like that. That simply means coddles her a little bit. Or,
oh, yeah.
See? So it's pronounced the same, it's spelled the same, but they have different meanings. Another word like that might be bear. Like there's bear the animal.
Bear
and spelled, well, that's not spelled the same.
Oh.
So it wouldn't be. But what if I said to, boy, you just need to grin and bear it. See, there's the word. That's spelled the same, it's pronounced the same, but it has a different meaning. We don't mean grin and bear it. Have anything to do with an animal at all. Another word that might be pronounced the same, that have different meanings, is bank. You could have a bank of a river, or you could have a bank where you go to put your money in or take it out. Well, it's the same way with this word fear. All right? The fear that we usually think about when we hear that word is being afraid of something or being fearful. Well, there is another meaning for that word that doesn't mean to be afraid or be fearful. Unfortunately, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, most people, even Christians, think we're talking about kind of being a little bit scared of God, having the fear of the Lord. And that's not what it means at all. And we're going to prove that tonight. And the reason we're going to get into this is not to prove what it is because it's a very important step in keeping yourself. All right, so let's talk about this a little bit tonight. First of all, the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God or a fear of what he might do. It's not a fear. We're talking about the fear of the Lord, which is different than a fear of the Lord, okay? Now, the Bible tells us over and over, don't fear not. Don't be afraid of God. Over and over. But yet some people have got this crazy idea that we're supposed to be afraid of God. Now, let's just turn to our first scripture tonight, Matthew chapter 14. And let's just read a few scriptures that tell us about this fear. First of all, we're going to talk about the first kind of fear, which is being afraid or something. And we're going to study where the Bible says, don't do this. Don't be afraid of God. All right? And then we're going to talk about what the fear of the Lord really is. All right. Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. All right? Verse 26 and 7. Who's got that? Anybody here got that? Sue, would you read 26 and 27?
But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.
All right. Jesus said what to him again? Say that again.
But take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.
He was walking on the water, tells us in verse 26, and they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Now, did God say, that's great, that's what I want you to do, have the fear of the Lord, that's what you're supposed to do? No, Jesus said to him, don't, be of good cheer, it's I, don't be afraid. So, from that standpoint, we would have to say that he doesn't want us to be scared of God or Jesus, right? Because Jesus said, it's I, don't be afraid. So, did he encourage him to be scared of him or have fear? So, we're not talking about that kind of fear. Well, let's just look at some more verses here so we make sure that we're not just taking one scripture out of context. Let's turn a few pages to Matthew 17 and look at verse 7. And let's read verse 6 as well to get the context. Does anybody have that one? Karen, do you have that one?
When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. God, again, he never once in the Bible wants us to be afraid of him, okay? But all the time, he's saying, don't be afraid. I could go through the Old Testament and show you many examples, but I'm just showing the New Testament examples. In the Old Testament, he said the same thing. I mean, one of the bold prophets would have a vision and he'd fall on his face. They say, it'd touch him, God would, or the angel, and say, don't be afraid, you know, fear not. Okay, let's go on. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. And we've seen Matthew, what he has to say about it. I could look at Mark 2 and 6:50, but he's just repeating what Matthew already said. So let's go to Luke, and we'll look at Luke chapter 2. And this is a famous verse that we all hear around Christmas time. So let's read what it says. Luke chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Marianne, would you read that one?
The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
God doesn't even want us to be afraid of the angels. Thank you, honey. Not only does God doesn't want us to be afraid of him, he doesn't even want us afraid of the angels. He is not here to bring fear upon us. That's not what he's about. Okay, let's just go on here. Let's turn to chapter 12. We're done tonight. You're going to know for sure that God does not want you to be afraid of him. Chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. I'll read that one since it's my turn. Jesus says, rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then he says something really neat. He says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. How much more personal and tender could Jesus have said it? Fear not, little flock. It shows us so many things. It shows us he doesn't want us to fear, and it shows us that how he and his Father see us. It's a little flock. What does a shepherd do with a flock? What's his primary duty with that flock?
Keep sheep out of trouble.
Keeps the sheep out of trouble, protects them.
Yeah.
Keeps them from harm, loves on them. Mm-hmm. I mean, a good shepherd. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, one last time, turn to the last book in the Bible, Revelations. There's more of these, but I want to choose something from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See that they all agree. All the apostles agree on this one thing, and they agree on a lot of other things, but mainly this one is an important one. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. This is when Jesus appeared to John when he was on the island of Patmos, and he gave him the book, the Revelation, it's called. Everything in the book of Revelation is what happened in this time when Jesus appeared to him. In fact, let me just read this one here. This is kind of interesting about, you know, when Jesus was on the earth, he looked just like everybody else. But the glorified Jesus, when he went back to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he took back all the power and all the authority and got for the first time this mighty name of Jesus with all that power in it, and he has a glorified body, which is a little different than what they saw on the earth. As a matter of fact, they saw it one time on the earth, at least partially, when he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that? When James and John and Peter went with Jesus up on the mount, and they saw Jesus, it says, glorified, and his face glowed, it said, and all this. And he talked with his father, and he talked with Elijah and Moses up there. Remember that? And when he came down, his face still glowed. Well, that was a little bit of a foretaste of what Jesus was going to look like when he went back to heaven and got his full kingship and all of that. See, he gave up those powers when he came here. But when he went back to heaven, he took them back up again because he's God, after all. He was God when he was here, but he gave up those powers and stuff to show us how to live on this earth and just show us the authority that we could have. All right, so John says, I turned to see, verse 12, the voices spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, this is Jesus, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the chest area with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. This is your Jesus. And his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God, boy. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, and you can understand this, I fell at his feet as if I was dead. Because he just couldn't take this image, this wonderful image of Jesus. I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said to me, what?
Fear not.
I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. That's the difference between Jesus and the rest of these clowns we were talking about. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He got those keys from Satan. Satan had the keys of hell and death before, and Jesus took them away from him. But the first thing he said was, fear not. All right. So I spent a little time here saying, well, if we're told to have the fear of the Lord, this can't be what it's talking about. Because all through the Bible it says, fear not, be not afraid, when talking about the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Is everybody clear on that? It's important. So when we're said to have the fear of the Lord, it must be talking about something else. Can't be talking about being afraid or being fearful of God, but it means something. Reverence. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bible.
It would be reverence.
That's part of it. You're right there. But let's find out what the Bible says it is. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Turn to Psalm 112, and we'll start learning about what this fear is. And now, the reason we're learning this is because it's going to be a great help to us to keep the enemy off our backs. This is how we keep ourselves. One way we keep ourselves is having this fear. Well, the only way we're going to know if we have it or not is to know what it is. We found out what it isn't, though. It isn't being afraid of God. Mm-hmm. But it's something, so let's find out what it is. Psalm 112, verse 1. All right. Sue, why don't you, if you have it there, why don't you read verse 1? Read it nice and loudly so we can hear it, what it says in Psalm 112.
You want to read the whole thing?
Just the first verse.
It says, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands.
Okay, we have our first clue of what the fear of the Lord is. Blessed is the man or the woman who fears the Lord. Well, what is it, Lord? He's one that delights greatly in his commandments. That's one definition of it. Huh? Right. He delights greatly in his commandments. That's having the fear of the Lord. That's part of it. Now, there's something kind of interesting here. If we do fear the Lord, and by delighting greatly in his commandments, what benefit do we get? That's the first word. What's the fourth word in the sentence or something? What's the benefit? We are what?
Blessed.
We're blessed if we have something called the fear of the Lord. Well, what is it? Well, we're just starting to find out. It's one that delights greatly in his commandments. And there's some promises that go along with this. The rest of the psalm, and we're going to get into these later, we talk about the promises of fearing the Lord, and we'll talk about this some more. All the rest of the verses in this psalm tell you the benefits of having this fear. Now, what is this fear? The first part of it is one who delights greatly in his commandments. Where are we going to find his commandments?
In
In the Bible. Okay. Now, let's go on to verse Psalm 128. We're going to see another part of what the fear of the Lord is. That's part of it. Let's find out what the rest of it is. Psalm 128, verse 1 again. Right there, God's telling us something else about the fear of the Lord. Karen, do you have that there?
Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways.
Who walk in His ways. What are they if they walk in His ways?
Blessed.
They're blessed again. Hey, every time you have this fear of the Lord, or whatever it is, you get blessed. Okay, so we got two things. One, it says here, if you look at your outline, verse 100, Psalm 112 says, it's one who delights greatly in His commandments. Psalm 128 said, it's one that walketh in His ways. Now, the first one, you can't have the second one without the first one. Now, I'm going to talk about this for a second. One who delights greatly in His commandments. The way you can't delight greatly in His commandments if you don't know what they are. So you first got to find out what they are. Then once you know what they are, you can walk in those commandments. You can't do it unless you know what they are. Mm-hmm. How are you going to know? So both are necessary. Now, delights in means to take pleasure in. All right? Mm-hmm. Commandments are instructions in the Word that are important to God that we do. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, this seems kind of maybe elementary, but it's going to be important in our definition of what this fear is. All right? Delights in means to take pleasure in. Commandments are instructions in the Word that are important to God that we do. All right, now let's look at the other half of the definition. One that walketh in His ways. Walketh in. What does that mean? We've heard people say, well, walking in love or walking in faith. To walk in means what? Does anybody have an idea on what it means to walk in something?
Occupy means
doing. Yeah, to occupy yourself with doing this thing, whatever it is. In other words, if you're walking in love, you're occupied in doing love. Love things, as defined by the Bible. All right? Walk then means to be occupied in doing. Now, here's one that the Holy Spirit showed me, I believe, this week. What are His ways? Well, I thought first they were just His commandments. His commandments are His ways. But it's more than that. First of all, the fear of the Lord is one who delights greatly in His commandments,
now,
one that walketh in His ways. Okay. Go ahead.
This is us.
Yes.
This.
We're the one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is not God.
We're the ones who delight greatly in His commandments. Right. We're the one that are to walk in His ways.
Right.
All right. Now, walking in His ways simply means to be do what His ways are. Now, how do ways differ from the commandments? Now, this is a little subtle, but I want to explain to you the way I think the Lord showed it to me. Ways, I got confused for a while. When I was a new Christian, let me explain it this way. I would see commandments in the Bible, but I wasn't sure how to apply it to my life exactly. The ways are how do I apply the commandments that I see in the Bible to my life. Let me give you an example. The Bible says, give, and it should be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's a commandment in the Bible, all right? One that walketh in His ways. My question was, after I knew that I was supposed to give, who do I give it to? See, there's part of it is part of what we're supposed to do are commandments given to us in the Word. And the other part of it is since we're believers, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, are the refinements in our hearts to how to apply these commandments to our lives. That's what I didn't know at first. That took me a while to get. That comes from the Holy Spirit inside. For example, I say give. I saw in the Bible there was a commandment that says give. I delighted in that. I thought, I want to please God. That was the first half of the fear of the Lord. I want to please God. I want to be a giver. And I made a mistake at first in just giving to everybody willy-nilly to places that God wasn't interested in. And God had to slow me down and says, hold on, you're doing right. I see you're delighting greatly in my word and you're trying to obey my commandments, but I have some places that I have an idea it might be better to give than other places. And I thought, wow, don't just give any old place, huh? God's got some places He'd like to me to give this to. Well, where, Lord? And He started showing me places that would, and it'd been open my eyes to needs and stuff that He wanted me to give to. So it was more than just blindly obeying a commandment. It was also to be responsive to the urgings of the Holy Spirit in my heart on how to apply the commandment to my life. Do you understand that? That sometimes you need to know what to do, but then you also need to know how to do it. That's the whole idea of going to school, really. I mean, I might know that it's important to know. I might delight greatly in knowing that if I knew arithmetic and math and things like that, it would help me in my job. But that would be only half of it. I'd still have to learn how to apply that math to my job or something. Without that, what good is it? And that's the same way the Holy Spirit in us. He can keep it. Now, at first, I was trying to do all kinds of kind of nutty things. I mean, I would see something in the Bible, and God knew my heart. I was trying to do what it said, but was applying it just kind of a legalistic fashion rather than with the nuance of how the Holy Spirit wanted me to do this. Like the giving thing, about who to give it to. I thought that everybody that contacted me with a need, I was under obligation to give to that person. And I became known as a soft touch. People would call me up and say, I need four tires for my car. I'd give them the money for four tires for their car. And some of these guys took the money for their tires, I suppose. I suppose just took the money and bought other things, and maybe things that weren't very good to buy. And the Lord had to kind of slow me down a little bit and say, you know, your heart's right. You're delighting greatly in my commandments, but you're not walking in my ways. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
Right. So the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us can help us with what His ways are, how to apply the commandments. So you need both. Now here's our definition of the fear of the Lord. Are you ready? Because we saw in two verses what it was. We have first one who delights greatly in His commandments, and secondly one that walketh in His ways. So here's what it is. It's taking pleasure in doing the things important to God as expressed by Him in His Word and refined by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now that sounds maybe like a kind of a complex definition, but I think with all the explanation I gave you, understand what it is. That's what the Bible says the fear of the Lord is. There's other ways of saying it too. Sue said kind of a reverence or an awe, a reverent awe of God. Well, that would be delighting greatly in your Lord, and that's part of it, yeah. I can go along with that. It's certainly not being afraid of God. That's not what it says here at all. One who delights greatly in His commandments, that one that walketh in His ways, is simply taking pleasure in doing the things that are important to God. Now, where am I going to find out those things? As expressed by Him in His Word, that tells you what they are, and refined by the Holy Spirit in the heart, that tells you how to do it. All right? And that's why we get so many people that are so mixed up in the world today. They're not Christian, and they're trying to talk about the Bible, and it just rings hollowly, because they're talking about His commandments, but not in any way shaped by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's we saw this a little bit in the last election. One party tried to get in at the last and say, well, we're a party of faith too, and look at all this. And everything they said went clang, clang, clang. It didn't sound like God at all. It was just their impression. It was just trying to obey what they thought the Bible said without the love and without the wisdom given by the Holy Spirit in the whole thing. Really, when you know how to apply His commandments, that's called wisdom. See, you can get knowledge from the Word just by knowing what His commands in the Word are. That'll give you knowledge. But wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. You need that. That's better. And did you know the Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now can you understand that a little bit better?
Yes.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because the first part of the fear of the Lord, you'll delight greatly in His commandments, you'll find out what His Word says, but that's not wisdom yet. Wisdom is the Holy Spirit's influence on how to apply that. When you got that, then you got the wisdom. And that's why the fear of the Lord is the first step or the beginning of wisdom. Now, let's see some benefits of having this fear of the Lord. We're still in Psalms, so turn back to Psalm 25, and we'll look at some benefits of this. This is a wonderful subject. It's amazing that we haven't heard maybe more about this, because so many things hinge on it.
And I think that there's not a whole lot of people that understand it like this, too.
Well, it just takes a little digging in the Word. And we're going to find out tonight, hey, if you have the fear of the Lord, and this is what this thing is, we're going to learn around, God will reveal things to you. That's a requisite. See, a fear of the Lord is simply, and you can't give this to people. You ever hear the thing, you hear basketball coaches and stuff say it all the time. He says, you can teach them how to play, but we can't give them desire. That's got to come from their heart. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about here. If you
lead a horse to water, but we'll make him drink either.
Right, you can lead him to water, but you can't make him drink. See, this is a voluntary act of the will to delight greatly in his commandments, one that wants to walk in his ways. If you don't want to do this, none of the rest of the stuff in the Bible is going to work for you. That's why this is so important. Unless you have a great love for God's Word and a desire to please Him, and then when you find out what's in His Word, you prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit how to apply it to your life, nothing's going to work. Because God can see that we're just not interested. He loves us, but everything comes to the one that has this fear. Not being scared of God, but being one that wants to learn. Now, I'm going to show you an example of this in a minute. It's going to knock your socks off. First of all, look at Psalm 25, verse 12. Whose turn is it to read? Marianne, I think it's your turn.
Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him.
Okay, she read that kind of fast. But what is it saying? No, I don't mean...
It just means if you fear the Lord, you will get instructions from him in the way he wants you to go.
Amen. Did you get that? Let's go over it again. She said this.
It means,
the man, go ahead, honey, in your own words.
He who fears the Lord will get guidance from the Lord.
Yay, hey, that's exactly what it means.
To me, that fear means listen.
That's part of it, yeah.
Listen.
Hey, if you're listening, you're what? You're not going to listen unless you're delighting greatly to hear what he has to say. That's his commandments. And why are you listening? Because you want to walk in his ways. See, it's all there.
All there is to know.
And so if you're saying, I hear Christians say this sometimes, and I don't say this to them because I don't want to hurt their feelings or something, but they say, God never reveals anything to me. I go in and I spend time with him every day and nothing ever happens. You know what I think to myself? It says here, the man that fears the Lord, the woman that fears the Lord, he will teach in his way. If he's not teaching you in his way, evidently there's something lacking in you having fear of the Lord. Now, I don't mean that harshly, but I just mean, I've done this myself. I have gone in to spend my time with the Lord to see what I was going to get out of it with no thought of giving anything to the Lord. You ever done that? I need something. Me, myself, my family, me. I need it. Lord, help me. And God's saying, could you just tell me you love me or something for a few minutes here? Could you just spend a little time with me? No, I need something. That's more important. What were you going to say something, man?
That's the reason why I hesitate to ask for anything.
Why?
Is because it's that me thing.
The big I?
Yeah.
Well, it's all right to ask him. He says you receive not because you ask not. But be sure to, it says that we come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Mm-hmm. That's the way to approach him. And then after you've done that for a while, I mean, you know, if you haven't seen anybody for a while, what's the first thing you do when they walk through the door? Hi, could you give me $5? I mean, you don't do that, right? You say, how are you? Oh, I haven't seen you for such a long time. I'm so glad to see you. Oh, my goodness, we were just talking about you last week. Boy, you look great. How you doing? How's the kids? And then later you might talk about some other things. But the first thing through the door, you don't say, hi. Hey, I need, can you help me? I'm in deep trouble. No, I haven't seen you for 6 months, and this is the first thing you say to me. You know, I'm just not saying that's exactly the same, but I'm saying here, the man that fears the Lord will be the one that God teaches. And you fear him by what? Delighting greatly in his commandments, wanting to please him that walketh in his ways. Okay, now, if you fear the Lord, he's going to teach you. How successful can you be as a Christian if you never receive any teaching from God?
Not very much.
Now, I'm going to give you a wonderful example of this. We may not have time tonight to get through the rest of the lesson if I do this, but I think it's so important I want to do it. I want you to turn to Mark. Now that you know what the fear of the Lord is, chapter 4, and I want you to look at something that is tremendously interesting. I tell you what, I have never heard this preached before, and I didn't get it myself for a long time. I kept studying this and studying this and studying this because it was known as the parable of the sower. And I got all about, you know, the four kinds of ground and all of that. I understood that. But, you know, one day I was going at this and going at this, and something just said in my heart, you're missing one of the main points. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to go back over this again. There's got to be more to this. And I went back through it again, and I learned all about the hard ground of the pavement. I learned all about the road. I learned all about the rocky soil. I learned all about the weeds growing up. And I learned all about the good soil again. And I got all done, and something in my heart said, you're still missing the main point. So I went back and I read it again, 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 and I read it again. Hey, you know what that sounds like to me? I'm not bragging. Sounds like the fear of the Lord. You want to learn. You want to find out. What does God mean? What has He got here? There's a purpose. Something in my heart said, well, you're delighting in His commandments, but you haven't gotten the way. You haven't gotten the Holy Spirit part of this that I want you to get yet. And so I read it again. And let me show you, I'll share with you tonight what I learned from this. Now let's just start with Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to read it myself because I want to get through this in a hurry. Verse 1. Jesus began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken. Now there's this, here's Jesus talking. This is his teaching now. Let's see what we can get from this, okay? Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then it starts off in verse 10, and when he was alone. In other words, time had passed and they left. Now, let me ask you a question. You're in that group. You're sitting by the, you're by the seaside. He's out on the boat and he's preaching and you're in that group. And he tells you just exactly what I read right here. What have you learned?
Listen.
Listen. All right, you've listened. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. What's he sowing?
Seed.
All right. And he sowed it in the ground, and some seed went in the ground, and it didn't grow very well. And some went in some other kind of ground, and it grew a little bit. And some went in another kind of ground, and it grew a little bit more, but there were weeds. And some went in another kind of ground, and it grew, and it did great. And that was the end of it. What have you learned? Nothing. Everybody knows that. You didn't learn anything you didn't already know. Now, that's interesting. Everybody knows that when you put seed in the ground, there are several things that can happen. Am I right? Sometimes it grows well. Sometimes it doesn't. It has a lot to do with the soil. Verse 10 is so puzzling. Time has passed, and he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, there is no way these people could have understand what he was talking about from this. And this is going to illustrate my point about the fear of the Lord. Now, some people found out. We're going to find out why they found out. Now listen, in verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not understand, and hearing they may hear and they not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest that at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said, know you not this parable? How then will you know all the parables? Then in 14, he gives them the key to the whole thing. The sower soweth the word. That's the key to understanding everything. And he goes on and says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown in good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. Now can they understand it. Yeah. The whole key is knowing what the sower was sowing, what he was talking about. He never told them that in the beginning. And the whole multitude, we're told about in verse 1, there was a multitude. That means hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Every time that you listen, that says multitude in the Bible. One time it's talking about feeding the 5,000. Another time it's talking about feeding the 7,000. There's a lot of people who talk about multitude. But when you got right down to the ones that really found out what it says here, when he was alone, they that were still about him with the 12 asked him about the parable. See, what did we just read in Psalm 25? The Lord will teach those who have this fear of the Lord. They had the fear of the Lord because why? They wanted to know. They stuck around and they asked. They said, Lord, we didn't understand what you meant by that. We're hanging around. We want to know. And the Lord said, unto you it's given to know the mystery. The first time I read that, I thought, well, this is kind of not fair of God. He's saying, unto you that are here, I want to know. But those I didn't want to know. I thought, that doesn't sound like God. He wants a certain group to hear and that group not to hear. But who chose to be in the group? Those that stayed around and those that asked him. That was their choice, not God's. It wasn't Jesus' choice. He said, unto you it's given to know. He wasn't saying to you, I'm excluding those people. He's saying, you're the ones that given to know because you stuck around and you asked me what it meant.
Another thing right there too. And also, right there where it says, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him.
Right.
So it wasn't even, if it hadn't said the others around him, you would have gotten the feeling that it was just for the inner circle to know.
That's
but
good.
The others around him stuck, enough of them stuck and didn't leave. And stuck with
Did you hear that?
Disciples. I mean, so just the common man could stand around and ask.
She's on to it. See, if he'd have said just exactly what she said, if he'd have just said, and the 12, everybody said, well, the apostles, they were the ones. They're the only ones God wanted to know. There, he says, unto you it's given. See, it's the apostles, the 12. But see, what Marianne put her finger on is exactly the truth. God made sure that we knew it wasn't just them. It was their decision to be there with the 12 and with Jesus and to stick around and say, I didn't understand that. Could you clarify that a little bit? And Jesus said, I'll be glad to. Here's what it means.
Well, how many
but they had to one.
I never picked up on that others.
Yeah. See, Marianne did, and I have.
I always knew it was a word that was being sowed, not seed.
But yeah. See, he didn't tell them that at first.
But I just didn't take it like that.
See, in that first group, he never said the word was the seed.
Yeah, I know he didn't.
They had to ask him. He told them what it meant. After they asked, after they had the fear of the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord, God gives revelation knowledge. He gives knowledge. We just read that in Psalm 25, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And here's proof of it.
Yeah.
He gave them that first without the key to see who really wanted to know. And then when they ask him, he says, unto you it's given to know. Mm-hmm. You're the ones. Yes. And now, just keep, now, read on. We'll read two more verses here if we haven't read yet. And it's verses 24 and 25. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. He's saying, you that are curious, you that want to know, you that are asking me these questions, you'll get more. But the ones that don't want to know, that don't care, they're just hanging around for the free food, you know, feeding the 5,000, all that, they're not going to get anything. In fact, even what they have will be taken away eventually. Not that I'm taking it, but because they aren't interested. That's not the kind that my kingdom can help. You know, and that's the same way it is today. So many people don't care. They go, they read their Bible, and I got to get my two chapters in today, and I don't understand that. But okay, I'm done with my two chapters, you know. They're not going to get anything out of the Bible. But, you know, you don't, I didn't get this until I read it and read it and read it. I knew in my heart there was more. The Holy Spirit was making me hungry to find out, what does this really mean? Then the first thing that dawned on me was, wait a minute, this wasn't fair. How in the world could they ever understand what he meant? He didn't tell them what the sower was. I don't care who you are. If he just says the sower sows the seed and some seed grows, some doesn't, what have I learned? Nothing. Those people that walked away learned nothing. But then I thought, wait a minute, some learned. Why did they learn? Were they the favorites? Sort of sounded like it at first. Unto you it's given to know. Wait, I said, wait a minute. That was their choice, not God's. He didn't say, you, and you, and sorry, move aside, and that guy behind you, stick around. I got something for you guys later on. He didn't pick them out. They picked themselves out. And that's exactly what we do. The fact that you're here tonight means that you want to learn. You stuck around. You see what I mean? It was nothing fancy. You came tonight because you had a something in your heart that wants to learn. That's the only way these things come. You got a special treat from the Word tonight. Not that I'm doing it, but there's layers of knowledge in this Word. And as we get in there and meditate on this Word, God reveals more and more of it to us. But the key is having this thing called the fear of the Lord. Not being scared of God. I mean, you're so far away from it, if people think that's what that means, it doesn't mean that at all. It means the one who delights greatly in his commandments, one that wants to walk in his ways, in his heart. That person God will show things to. And that's exactly who he showed it to here. This is an example of Psalm 25 that says, the Lord will teach those that have the fear of the Lord. Okay? Does everybody understand that? It's also the beginning of wisdom. You can see that here now, can't you? Mm-hmm. Having this fear, this desire, was the beginning of wisdom for those that stuck around. They got wisdom. They found out that God's Word will only help those who really see. There's really kind of a lesson within a lesson here. I mean, that's what the parable of the sower says when you get to understand it, that there's different kinds of soil. One kind of soil just left. They didn't even stick around. You know, the people that left. But he's saying that some of the seed's going to fall on good soil. Those people stuck around with the good soil. The parable was about them. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? And then they didn't even know it at the time. The parable was about them.
Oh, I kind of turned it right back on them, didn't
you? Yeah. But these other people, see, the ones that left, they didn't know what it meant. And some had to, well, I got to get going here. I can't hang around any longer. They were the ones that were growing with the weeds. The cares of this world, the lusts of other things entering in, chokes the Word. I had to get going here, you know. I'd like to stick around a little longer, but I got to go, Jesus. See ya.
Just see him walking away, and your mom couldn't see him. And what do you think he meant there? And the other one said, I have the biggest idea. He's just some crackpot going down the road.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see people walking out of church thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Yet they were at the same time fulfilling what he was talking about.
Uh-huh. They were doing exactly what
they said. They were doing exactly what they said.
They didn't know that, did they?
No, they didn't. I love it. The more I study this, the more I get out of it. So there's one benefit to having the fear of the Lord. The Lord will teach you. It's the beginning of wisdom. You want to have wisdom in your daily affairs? You want to know what God wants you to do at every moment of every day? Have the fear of the Lord. Without it, you're not going to know. You want to bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold? Have the fear of the Lord. Be concerned for the things of God. When you approach your Bible, approach it enthusiastically. God, pray. God, show me something from your Word today. He's got so many things in here that you never heard before. I mean, you're probably learning some things tonight you've never heard before because you're here. If you weren't here, you wouldn't learn it, you know, because you want to, because you have this fear of the Lord. That's the first step. It's sort of like the basketball player. Without the desire of these kids, we couldn't do anything. We got some real athletes, but they, you know, if they don't have the desire, we can't do much with them. And that's the way it is here. You got to have the desire. If you just want to stay at a certain level in your Christian life, you can. But you're never going to get much out of it. Not because God doesn't want to. It's because the way things work, God, it says, look at this. This is neat. It says here, for he that has, to him shall be given. The more you get, the more you're going to get. The more you get, the more you can get. Because you have this fear. That's what God's saying here. He that already has, to him shall be given. Well, because how did he get it in the first place? He got it in the first place because he had this fear, this desire. And that kind of person's going to get more and more and more and more. But the people that don't have that aren't going to get anything. Now, that's just opposite of what people think ought to happen. Most people think the people that got a lot ought to be given to the ones that don't have much. Spread it around a little bit. That's sort of the welfare mentality. Let's take from this group and let's give it to this group because they don't have much. Jesus is saying the other way around. He said, look, I want to give more to the ones that got it already. They got something going for themselves. They got this fear here. They're going to get more. The ones that don't have this, don't care, don't want it, don't want to spend the time to figure out what God's word means or what I'm trying to say here, aren't going to get anything, and it's their own fault.
I won't take care of it either.
I won't take care of it. You got to stick around. You got to come back and you got to say, I didn't understand that, Lord. What did you mean there? And you think God's going to beat you on the head and say, well, dummy, I just didn't want you to know anything. No, he's going to show you. He wants to show you, but he's going to show the ones that really want to know. That's proved right here.
I will never have to say, I don't know what fear of the Lord means.
Good. I consider the evening a success then. That's good. Now you know. They'll never let anybody tell you. I heard a guy on the radio say one day, and you got to watch what you hear on the radio too sometimes.
Yeah.
He said, I heard a person say the other day, the fear of the Lord doesn't mean to be afraid of God. He says, oh yes it does. And I thought, hate to say that, what an ignoramus. I mean, he didn't know. He hadn't a clue.
He didn't learn a thing, did he?
Well, no. He just assumed that that's what it meant. But if you read the Bible, it defines it for you here. It tells you exactly what it is. Go ahead, Nancy.
I just bet you there was an awful lot of people that never associated that bad soil, good soil, indifferent soil and whatever with believers. So now maybe that didn't come out right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Because I just thought it was dirt, plain old dirt.
Oh, I didn't from the first time I ever read it. I thought that pertained to
Oh, yeah, it's your heart. I mean, can God get it in there?
That was the first thing that I thought about. He's talking about people.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, he's talking about, it's really about soil, people's hearts, whether God can get it. The word didn't change, did it? There's not four kinds of word coming. One that doesn't work, one that kind of works, one that works a little bit more, and one that really works. No, it wasn't the different kinds of word. The word was all the same. It was the different reception on the other end. Mm-hmm. Some people said, well, that goes, it doesn't go with what my church teaches, bounce off. Says Satan comes immediately and steals that word. Mm-hmm. You say, no, that doesn't go with anything you've learned.
My first thought when I read that is, gosh, I hope I'm good soil. And then my answer was, you can be.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's up to us. Mm-hmm. See, he tells all about what this good soil is, and then by example, if you go back and look, you can see exactly what he's talking about in the two groups here. One group's good soil because what? They wanted to hear. They wanted to know. They hung around a little longer.
They wanted to learn.
They had a question after class to the teacher. Teacher, I don't understand any of that.
I don't think about fear in the same context. Anymore.
Good. I think that's good. It won't be the fear of the Lord. He is a... If we could talk about it, loving Father, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you everything I can. That's the key, that I can. That we don't mess up with our mouths and, oh, I'll never have anything. God says, if you believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. That's the way it's got to be. I'm sorry. That's what my word says. I'd love to give it to you, but I can't because of what you just said. And that's going to be another one of the things we're going to study about keeping yourself, keeping your tongue. You're not there yet. We'll get there.
One of the things that Pat taught me first, right off the bat, was the words that you say.
Pat?
My friend that brought me to the Lord.
Okay. That's very important. See, there's more than one thing. But without this thing we're talking about tonight, none of the rest of it's going to work. Because why? You won't care. I mean, you personally, but I mean, people won't care. If you don't have enough in your heart to say, I want to learn, the rest of it's not going to do you any good. Because if you don't want to look... please the Lord and delight greatly in his commandments and want to do things his way, you're not going to care what you say. You're not going to believe the word enough to say, well, whatever that means, you know, what you say could kind of mess up your life. I don't believe any of that. Well, it's in the Bible. You got to be careful. But if you have the fear of the Lord, the first step, all these other things are possible. But nothing works without this first one. It's like that link in the chain I was talking about. Now let's just, you know, I don't want to spend much more time, but look at some of the other benefits we have here. One more scripture let's go to. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. You're going to start recognizing in the Bible now, now that you know what the fear of the Lord is, when someone has this fear and when they don't. Here's a good example of a person that has the fear of the Lord in Proverbs chapter 4. Let me read this. Everybody got chapter 4 of Proverbs here? All right, let me read verse 20. My son, or my daughter, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them, his words, not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why, Lord? For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. First he says, my son, attend to my words. In other words, put my word in first place is what that means. That sounds a little bit like delighting greatly in his commandments. All right? That's half of the fear of the Lord right there. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, there's a wonderful benefit here that I want to draw to your... You have to do four things to get it. You have to put his word in first place in your life. That means God's word is number one. When I make a decision about my life, his word comes first. Now, it turns out God has got something to say just about every lifetime decision you're going to make. Just about. And further, that word, when amplified and showed how to apply it by the Holy Spirit in your heart, will be the right thing to do in every situation. All right? But first you have to want to know what his word says. You have to attend to his words. Find out what it says. So he can bring his word into your remembrance. Remember, that's one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit? Bring his word to your remembrance. He can't bring it to your remembrance if you've never heard it in the first place. How can he do that? You can't remember something you never went through your brain before, right? You can't remember an ant you never seen or heard of, can you?
No.
But once you've seen that person and interacted with them, you can remember them. Well, you can't remember his word unless you first heard it. So that's why you have to attend to his words, why you have to incline your ear into what he says, and let them not depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, if you do all this, these words will be life to you. They'll work into your life and give life to your life. Sounds funny to say it that way. But that's what it'll do. It will make your life
enrich it.
I like that. That's the word I'm looking for. It will enrich your life. Now, one way it will do it is listed right here. It will be health to your flesh. Do you notice it doesn't say healing to your flesh? What's the difference between health and healing?
Well, if you've got good health, you don't need healing.
Perfect. That's exactly right. Which would you rather have, healing or health?
I'd rather have health, I guess.
And if I don't have health, I'd like to get healing.
Yeah.
But first, wouldn't you like to have the health?
Mm-hmm.
This is the key. Remember I told you that the one who keepeth himself, the wicked one doesn't even touch him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not as good a way. But once you get touched with the enemy and you get the sickness or you get the poverty or you get whatever it is, you get out of it. That's good too. Prayer and casting him out and getting him out of your life. That's good to have that. But even better than that is not to have that trouble in the first place. Well, right here it tells you that if you will be one who fears the Lord, you have health to all of your flesh. How much of your flesh?
All of it.
Yeah. All of it. From the tip of your toes to the top of your head. You can live in divine health, the person that does this. I wrote in my margin, reading this week, this phrase, I said, there comes a point in doing these four things that you'll find or treasure the word as the final authority. That's when you find it. It says, and they're life unto those that find them. This is how you find these words. By find these words, that means make it be a treasure and work in your life, all right? There comes a point in doing these four things. What are they? Attend to my words, incline your ear into my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. If you'll do those four things, you'll find you will find or treasure the word as the final authority. If you'll do that, treasure is the final authority in your life. This is when it begins to produce fruit in your life. All right? That's what we want. That's the bottom line, is having this fruit from the Word spring up in our lives to where we can walk in divine health. I mean, you know, half the things I'm telling you tonight, a lot of even Christians would say, you can't do that. There's no way. Why? You know, I knew a good person and they did all this, and I'm saying, wait a minute. I don't know about Aunt Ethel. I don't know about all this other stuff. All I know is this is what the Word says. If we'll do this, this happens. And it does. I have proved this out of my life for a long time. It really works. But first thing you got to have is the thing we're talking about is this fear of the Lord. All right? Now, what are some of the other blessings? I'm just going to read them tonight because we've gone on long enough. I want you to read this week. Number four says, it is the key, this fear of the Lord is the key to all blessing. On your own, read Psalm 128 and Psalm 112, all of it. And come back next week, in addition to your regular homework, and give me some things that were your favorite things from these two Psalms, the blessings that come from fearing the Lord. I want to know, each person, what you found to be really appeal to you. I mean, you know, they're all good, but what did you like? Because it's like a shopping list. You can have any of these things that are in these two Psalms because it comes from fearing the Lord. Really, it boils down to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and what? And all these things shall be added unto you. What is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? What, after we've learned tonight, would you call this? The fear of the Lord. That's what it is. Not being scared, but being delighting greatly in his commandments, walking in his ways. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. And when you do that, that's what Jesus meant. All these things will be added unto you. First, you got to know what it is in his word, and that's what we're doing here with the Bible study, really. Finding out what some of these commandments are. How can we keep ourselves so the wicked one can't touch us? Number five, in Proverbs chapter 10, it says, if the man who fears the Lord, the woman who fears the Lord, it will prolong their days. What do you think that means?
But they're not through learning yet.
Yeah. But if I tell you, if you do this, have the fear of the Lord, it will prolong your days, what would that mean to you?
It means you're going to heaven.
It means you're going to heaven, but...
Oh, yes.
Means it's that you would... Day. How about prolong your days on the earth? You'll live longer.
I'd rather go to heaven.
Okay. Well, it says in Psalm 91, you know, if you do these things, you have your choice. It says you'll live until you're satisfied.
No.
When you get satisfied, Sue, go on home. But on your terms. See the difference? On your terms. When you want to go. Not when the enemy wants you to go. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's got all kinds of people going home way too early. But in Psalm 91, it says you go when you're satisfied. If you're ready to go, fine. Just be sure you're done with the Lord's work first. And he's saying it's time.
Yeah, I know he's not.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. But, you know, he'll prolong your days. Wouldn't you like it up to you instead of up to the devil when you go home, when you go to heaven? You're going to heaven. But there's a question of when you're going there. It reminds me of this guy I heard. It was a preacher, and he said to everybody, he says, everybody raise your hand here that wants to go to heaven. And there was one little boy back in the church, didn't raise his hand. He says, don't you want to go to heaven, son? He says, oh, I thought you're getting up a load to go right now. So, go when you're ready, okay?
Oh, yeah, he wasn't ready.
He wasn't quite ready. He's just a little boy. He said, oh, I thought you'd get a load to go right now.
Mine didn't come up ready.
See, these kids have a way of looking at things. You know, they're pretty literal. You better watch what you say. Number six, we will not be visited with evil. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
No evil.
Yeah.
There's a couple proverbs for that. And you could look those up on your own because we're getting short of time. The last one says it brings riches, honor, and long life. So, you know, I didn't have a chance to go over those scriptures tonight because we're getting a little late. But look those up on your own and then do the homework. And I think when you do that, you're going to have a really good understanding of what the fear of the Lord is all about. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you tonight for being here with your Holy Spirit, for teaching us your word, Father. We prayed before we started that the Holy Spirit would come in our group tonight and teach us. And he's done just that, Father. Thank you so much, Father, for the precious, holy, written word that you've given us, Father. Thank you for clarifying to us what it means in your word when you say, have the fear of the Lord. Thank you for showing us, Lord, it doesn't mean to fear you or to be afraid of you, but just to have an awesome respect and to delight greatly in your commandments and to have a desire to walk in your ways is all it means, Father. And we want to do that tonight, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you'd show each person here tonight a way in which, Father, they could more greatly enter into this thing called the fear of the Lord in their lives, Father. Each of us are living lives, Lord, that in some ways are the same and in some ways they're different. And you know, Father, by your Holy Spirit, what each one of our lives needs to make us more closely adhere to what you call the fear of the Lord. And we ask you tonight, in Jesus' name, to show each one of us in our own hearts how we can better, Father, fit into this mold of being having the fear of the Lord, Lord, so we can enter into your blessings that you always want to give us, Father, but sometimes you're not able to, simply because we don't make ourselves eligible. So, Father, show us these things. In Jesus' name, we all pray. And everybody said, amen. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. All right, let's go over our homework for lesson two. As you know, we're on a series and based on the scripture, a promise. And this promise is, in 1 John 5:18, the Lord said, I'll just read the last part of it. He that is born of God keeps himself. And if he does that, the wicked one touches him not. And this is the verse that we're basing our series on right now. So there's a valuable promise here. And it says something like this. It says that he that's born of God, you're born of God? If you're born of God, if you've been born again, if you're a child of God, if you accepted Jesus as your Savior, that means if you'll do something called keeping yourself, the Lord promises that that wicked one, and we all know who that is, can't touch you. Wouldn't that be great? Not worrying about getting out of trouble once we're in trouble, but staying completely out of trouble from him. So that's what we've been talking about. So last week we had step one in keeping ourselves was have the fear of the Lord. And I think we established pretty clearly that having the fear of the Lord doesn't have anything to do with being afraid of God. It has nothing to do with that. Having the fear of the Lord, we discovered through reading the Word, is to take pleasure in doing the things that are important to God as expressed by Him to us in His Word, the Bible. That's basically it. All right? So now let's go over the homework. All right, now, first question. To see that the wicked one touches us not, it is important that we blank blank. What goes in those blanks? Anybody?
Not sin.
Not sin. That's the first part of that verse. And by not sinning, that's one way we do what else? What's it called? Keep ourselves. If you don't sin, that's one step. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Keeping ourselves. So really, what we're doing in this series is this promise is all contingent on the wicked one not being able to touch us is doing something called keeping ourselves. Well, it's no good if we don't know how to keep ourselves, is it? We just say, well, there's a way that the wicked one won't touch us, but I have no idea what it is. Well, after this series is over, you won't have any excuses. You'll know, and you can keep them off your back. Number one, we covered last week, and that was have the fear of the Lord. All right, second question. Two words can be spelled the same. Can be spelled the same and have pronounced the same, but have different meanings. True or false? True. We covered that last week. All right. Now, here's a question I gave you. See what you got for this. Give me two words for objects in the room that you're now in that are homonyms, which are two words that are spelled the same and pronounced the same.
You
didn't have a one?
My light bulb was not on.
Your light bulb was not on?
How about box?
Box. Excellent. Box in the room,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
two different things, right?
Or get your ears boxed.
There's another one. That's an old-fashioned one.
I also put cuff down.
Cuff?
Cuff on your shirt, and also get cuffed.
All right. Did you think of anything while we were passing this around that you wanted to share with us?
You have your arm and then the arm on a chair.
There you go. Hey, and they're both in the room. That's the first one anybody's mentioned that are both in the room. The rest of them, we've had one, and that's good. Now, I just looked around my office this morning, and I came up with a chair you sit in, and somebody says, I'm going to chair this meeting. Okay. Or a plug. You know, you plug in something in the wall, or I'm going to plug for something on TV, an advertisement or something like that. Sock. Sock somebody, or sock. Okay, well, you get the point. And the point, what we made last week, the reason we're doing this is not just to be silly, but the word fear is the same way. It's a word, two words, spelled the same, pronounced the same, but mean entirely different. Fear being afraid is one kind of fear. But the fear of the Lord is a different type of fear. But so many people have this confused. They think when it says in the Bible to have the fear of the Lord, it means to be scared of God. He doesn't want to scare him. He loves us. So we established that last week. And Sheila, if you want to get the tape, let me know if you didn't hear that one. It will go further on this. So, okay. True or false? The fear of the Lord is just that, a fear of what the Lord will do to us if we sin or offend him. That's false. That's what we learned. That was the point of last week's lesson. No, the fear of the Lord is simply taking pleasure in doing the things that are important to God as expressed by him in his word and then refined by the Holy Spirit in our heart. True. Thank you. The Bible tells us we should not fear or be afraid of God. Is that true or false? Does the Bible tell us that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Where do we get that?
Yeah, what good would it do us if it didn't tell us that in the Bible? I covered many scriptures last week where it said, in fact, one we were all familiar with at Christmas. What was the thing that the angels said to the shepherds in this field? Fear not. God does not want us afraid of him. He loves us. All right? True or false? We are to have the fear of the Lord and not a fear of the Lord. True or false? True. There's a difference there. The fear of the Lord is good. A fear of the Lord is not good. One who has the fear of the Lord delights greatly in giving commandments. True or false? False. I twisted that around a little bit, didn't I? One who has the fear of the Lord delights greatly in the Lord's commandments, not in giving commandments. Okay. True or false? And walking in the way he or she pleases. True or false?
False.
And walking in the way that who pleases?
God.
And he never gives us anything that's hard to do, that we can't do. It might be a little hard sometimes, but it's never anything that we can't do. That's the way God is. He's a just God. He knows us, he made us, and he won't ask us to do anything that's impossible. All right, and he always has us do something that's for our own good. All right, here's another one. This is one to fill in the blanks. Name two characteristics of one who fears the Lord. And all you had to do was get him off the other side of your sheet.
Following his commandments and obeying.
One who delights in his commandments or follows them. That's true. What was the other one? Walks in his ways. That's obeying them. So Karen had both of those, just a little different words. Good. If we are truly delighted in God's commandments, we will also be sure to do them. True. If you're a person that has the fear of the Lord, you really want to do what God wants you to do. All right. Commandments are instructions in the Word that it's important that God does. So why is it false? It's important that we do them, not God. It's not commandments for God, they're commandments for us. An example of the fear of the Lord is given in Mark 4, 3 through 20, and it's called the parable of the blank.
Sower.
We talked about that some depth last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
One of the benefits of having the fear of the Lord is that he or she will live longer. True or false? True. Isn't that a wonderful promise that's in there? It says you'll prolong their days. Everybody's looking for ways to live longer in this world. Oh my gosh, what they would give. And all the books that are written on this and medications to take and do this. And that's all fine. But this doesn't cost you a cent. Doesn't cost you doctors, is it? Anything. God says,
most it's going to cost you is go out and buy your Bible to read it so you know.
There you go. That's all you need. And most people don't even have to buy a Bible. Did you know that something like I think it's 90% of the people in this country have a Bible. Even non-believers have Bibles. Mm-hmm. Somebody gave them or something, and it's stuck somewhere in the house. And I'm not saying they're reading it, but I'm saying almost everybody has a Bible somewhere in their house. One of the benefits of having the fear of the Lord, oh, I've covered that. Another benefit is that he or she will not be visited with evil, true or false. Well, we're talking about, okay, that's good. We do have to deal with it, all right? We are visited with it. But what the Lord meant in that psalm, it says he won't be visited with evil if you fear the Lord, means that the evil won't have victory over you. But I understand.
You're keeping yourself,
right.
Even if you fear the Lord.
So that one would be false or true, depending on how you interpreted that, okay? Having the fear of the Lord will bring prosperity, honor, and a long, wrong life. I messed that up, didn't I? False. It's a long life. The fear of the Lord is the key to receiving God's blessing. True or false?
That's true.
That's true. That's what we felt. We're going to talk about that some more here when we get to these two psalms.
That's what those psalms are about.
Yeah. Including receiving knowledge and teaching from God. Is that true or not? Does it, the fear of the Lord include receiving knowledge and teaching from the Lord? Yeah, we talked about that last week to some extent. That the ones who received teaching from the Lord were the ones that hung around. Remember that? The ones that didn't give up. The ones that said after his parable, hey, we didn't understand that, Lord. What did you mean? And then he went on to explain it. And he went on to explain that they received the explanation because they really wanted to know. All right. How do we know that having the fear of the Lord will help keep the devil off our back? How do you know? After all we've said, how do you really know?
Well, you got the word.
You got the word. You answered that really great. You said, because the Bible tells us. The Bible says so. And who wrote the Bible?
The Lord.
The Lord. It says that the Bible was written by God as men were inspired to write down what God wanted them to write.
That sounds like a little kid's answer. The Lord's word tells us so.
Do you know what I wrote down? The Bible tells me so. You know that little song?
Yeah.
All right, let's turn to Psalm 112, and we're going to, these are our last questions. And I asked you last week to everybody to read Psalm 112 and Psalm 128, they're short psalms, and pick out one blessing, or if you have more than one, that's fine, that really appealed to you. Something that comes from having what we call here the fear of the Lord. Now I'll read the first verse, and maybe we should just read down through this psalm.
I think
that
would be a good idea.
And when we get to a verse that you picked out, just stop me, okay? Or one that you want to talk about. Does that sound good? All right. Verse Psalm 112 says, praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord.
That was the one I...
Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. Now, that's what the fear of the Lord is. We found that out. Now, here's the blessings. Number one, verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. That's what my version says.
That's mine.
That yours? Okay.
Because I have everything I need.
Read the...
My children, I want them to have everything I need.
Read what the NIV... You got the NIV?
Yes.
Read what it says.
Your children will be mighty in the land. Each generation of the upright will be blessed.
Your children will be blessed if you have the fear of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? You notice it doesn't say they feared the Lord. It says, blessed is the man that fears the Lord. His kids will be mighty upon the earth. Your kids can be blessed from what you do. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to what they do. But in the long run, there'll be blessing that will come upon your children if you live a good, solid Christian life. Okay? Verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Hey, that sort of sounds like the God doesn't really mind if we have some wealth or riches. I mean, you hear a lot of people say, well, God doesn't want us to have anything, because doesn't the Bible say money's the root of all evil? Does it say that? No. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's different than money being. See, when money rules you, money has you. All right, you can have money. God doesn't mind you having money as long as the money doesn't have you. That is, you know, his kingdom flourishes with people who give to it. So wealth and riches are okay with God. In fact, it comes through fearing the Lord. Number four, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. You ever had a dark time in your life?
Oh, yes.
How about like that light at the end of the tunnel, don't you?
Yeah.
There will be light. Now, some people, this comes from fearing the Lord. Some people, it gets darker and darker for them. And God can't do anything about it because they've chosen to go that way. But here it says, if you fear the Lord, you might have some darkness in your life, but there'll be a light. It will never be a permanent thing. There'll be light in the darkness. Well, who do you suppose that light in the darkness might be for you?
That's Jesus.
That's Jesus. Yep.
Sometimes it seems like it's a long way down that tunnel, though.
Well, sometimes that tunnel, even though we're good people and we're doing our best, sometimes some of those things happen because God doesn't want us, but there's certain things we don't know in the Word, things that we can do to shorten that time in the tunnel. Or if that time in the tunnel is caused by the enemy, know what to do to get him off our backs. That's what we're learning here. Some Christians don't know that. And because of that, not doing what the Bible says do, they suffer and suffer with things God doesn't even want them to suffer with. So there's things that we can do to shorten these things. Verse 6. Surely this person who has the fear of the Lord shall not ever be moved. That means permanently. I mean ever permanently affected by what an evil thing that happens. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Number 7. Here's another blessing. Verse 7. The one that fears the Lord shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That means he's not going to be the type of person that sits around waiting, oh, I just know something bad's coming. I just know that, yeah, things are okay right now, but boy, next week, I just know that this is too good to last. You know, if you really have the fear of the Lord and trust in God, you shouldn't be afraid of things like that.
Yeah, and that's...
And that'll get you in trouble.
Getting you in trouble there.
That's right.
Half the time you think that way, something bad does happen. So you need to get that out of your mind.
That's right. Fear is what got Job in trouble, if you read it real closely. He got afraid for his kids. He saw them partying all the time. I mean, just that's what it says in chapter 1 of Job. His kids were having these parties and stuff all the time, and he worried and worried and worried and worried till finally he was the one that was affected, and that affected his kids. He said, oh, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me now. See, fear got him in trouble. He was afraid of evil tidings, things that were going to happen. Here's a blessing. If you're a person that fears the Lord, your heart's going to be established. You shall not have to be afraid. That's a good blessing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's the one I like.
Not being afraid. The closer you get to God, and that's what the fear of the Lord is, the less fear there's going to be in your life. Because you can't be real close to God and be fearful. Let's see. Well, that's mostly the blessings in here, I think. Anybody have any other comments here? All right, now let's look at Psalm 128. We have another blessing for someone who fears the Lord. It says, verse 1, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord. What is fearing the Lord? Walking in his ways. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. Boy, that's pretty good. You know what that means? That means, you ever feel like sometimes you work and somebody else gets the credit? You work and somebody else gets the benefit?
Mm-hmm.
It says, you're going to eat the labor of your hands, not somebody else, you.
You're going to get it.
You're going to get it. You know, you do something, and you're going to get the benefit of it, not just somebody else. You shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it shall be well with you.
Amen.
Now, all we have to do is go back, if we've forgotten, and listen to that tape on what it means to have the fear of the Lord. Because you're going to have these things. God promises it. He says it right here. You will have these things. Shall be well with you. How you like it to be well with you? Your wife, if you're a husband, shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of your house. Thy children like olive plants around thy table, growing like crazy. Behold, that thus shall the man or the woman be blessed, that what?
Fears the Lord.
The Lord shall bless you out of Zion. That means he'll bless you right out of heaven. He keeps an eye on you, And when he sees that you're fearing him and you've made it possible for him to bless you, he's got his eye on you and he'll bless you. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. You want, like the idea of seeing your children's children? Well, I guess you've seen that all right, haven't you? I guess a lot of people in this room have had that benefit.
Yep.
And so have I. Isn't that a blessing, though? We get a lot of joy out of the grandchildren, don't we? I mean, it's sort of like all the benefits of having your own kids without any of the penalties.
That's why I tell Jeff in that picture, just look what you did.
Just look what you started. You and you too. You're guilty as he is.
Well, I was trying to put it all on.
Yeah.
I like the statement, if I'd known grandchildren were so much fun, I'd have had them first.
Okay.